Just give me the cut.
Welcome to That One Show with Brian Combs and...
I'm Dixie Combs here with you today.
We are a podcast that does music, movies, and a few other pop culture things. We mainly rank things. Today we're going to be talking about our five favorite examples of a movie character sacrificing themselves. And we are recording live at Rupp Arena on March 8th, 2024 at Lexington Comic and Toy Convention. Thank those folks for having us.
Yes,
so there is one rule in which people are eligible for this list and that they actually have to die and stay dead. So if you were wanting Spock on the list, I do apologize ahead of time. He came back in the very next movie and was in several more movies after that. So his death meant nothing.
Oh, Brian, you already angered the entire room of people, which consists of
two people.
Two people. thank you all for coming today.
Our listeners will never know. And I think we're at 254.
Yes.
We just get one more in here, we'll be at max capacity according to the fire mark.
But we blew our cover, though. For the listeners, we could have totally just pretended that we had a packed-out house here.
Right.
So, but too late.
All right. So we have introduced ourselves. We have about a half an hour to go through our list real quick. We're going to try to do five apiece and discuss why we think that their sacrifice meant more than the ones before them, but not as much as the ones after. Who is your first movie character?
Oh, I get to go first.
Yes, that sacrificed themselves.
Okay, I hope that I don't butcher her name. I actually Googled the pronunciation, but Eponine from The Miserables. Hi, guys.
Come
hello.
In. We got free stuff up here. Come get you one.
Yeah, come in. We're, for our listeners at home, we have some more folks that just came in, and we're trying. It's a packed house, so we're trying to get them a seat, so just bear with us. But I'm going to go with Eponine from The Miserables because she took a bullet for her man and he was oblivious to the fact that she died for him. And then she sang an incredibly sad song about it. So any thoughts on that movie? Can you remember that part of the movie? It's an extremely long, singable movie.
Yeah, I watched that movie with you at the Regal Cinemas here in Lexington, and that's about all I remember about that movie.
I just remember crying through so much of that movie, and especially this scene with her. So her death was for nothing. He took the other girl. Sorry, spoilers, people.
So for the folks who just came in, we are a podcast, and today we're talking about our favorite examples of movie characters that sacrifice themselves. The first one I want to talk about is played by Randy Quaid in the movie Independence Day.
Yeah.
The character's name is Russell Russ Case. And yeah, that's right. He is a alcoholic crop duster, and aliens invade, and it gets so bad that they start recruiting just any Tom, Dick, and Harry that can even get a plane in the air to fly state-of-the-art fighter jets. He is one of them. He states throughout the entire movie that he was abducted and probed by aliens. Everybody thinks he's just a drunk idiot, but he was telling the truth the entire time.
The entire time, yeah.
And they need one more missile to blow up the mothership, and he's the only one left with missiles, and wouldn't you know it, his missiles won't even deploy, so he just has to fly his actual plane into the ship, killing himself and the aliens and saving the galaxy in the process.
Good. He's a good man. He's a good man.
And he is played by the one and only Randy Quaid.
And this is a movie that we managed to watch every New Year's Day. It's Independence Day, but we celebrate Independence Day every New Year's Day in our house. So, great sacrifice. Very good example.
I'll go ahead and do my next one, which is...
Hi, welcome.
Come in.
Sorry,
get
Brian.
Get you some free stuff.
Get you a button. Yes.
We're a podcast, and we're talking about movie characters that sacrifice themselves. And I am specifically right now talking about a character played by Bruce Willis in the movie Armageddon by the name of Harry Stamper, which owned his own deep drilling oil company. And this is probably the most implausible movie of all time. They trained just the random Joes to be astronauts in like 3 days, not just astronauts, but to be able to land on a damn comet safely and drill into it and blow it up. Him and his team draw straws because one of them has to die in order to deploy the explosives. his a young man who's dating his daughter that who he pretends to hate the entire movie pulls the shortest straw, played by Ben Affleck. But wouldn't you know it, old Harry, he tricks him and jumps out there on his own, locks himself out, and live on the air, blows himself up and saves the world. That is Harry Stamper from the movie Armageddon.
All right, so it's my turn.
Yes.
I have no additional thoughts for that. I actually just watched Armageddon for the first time, a few months ago?
Yes.
Yeah, so even though it was my prom theme, give it up for class of 2000. That was our prom theme for some reason. So good soundtrack, I reckon. All right, so it's my turn?
Yes.
All right, let's do a dive into the Hunger Games. During the second Hunger Games, we have a minor character. Her name is Mags. And she did what I believe is an ultimate sacrifice by going into the acid smoke so that Katniss and her buddies could get away there. So after he had to carry her hind end all the way through the forest and through the clock, she ended up giving it all up in the end so they could get out of that. And good job, Mags. We appreciate your hard work and your love and dedication to the Hunger Games. Any thoughts on Mags?
No. we're going to move on to
okay.
A character played by Michael Rooker. Does anybody have a guess at who I'm talking about? It is from a Marvel movie. What do you say, brother? Yes. Yes, from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You got to have him on this list.
So I think he's actually been at Comic-Con before. Michael Rooker has. He is a super nice guy. And no matter what character he's playing, he cannot help but be a redneck. Somehow he sounds like a redneck, even though he's a blue, basically an alien in these films.
He is an alien and from Breathitt County.
To catch up on, now, I'm sure everybody here who is at Comic-Con has obviously probably watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, 2, and 3. But he kidnaps Peter Quill as a child and pretty much raises him. They've always had a back and forth and a love-hate relationship. And in Volume 2, Peter meets his real dad, and this is going to sound crazy if you're not familiar with the source material, who's actually just a planet. His dad is a planet.
Wow, can't beat that.
So, and they're in space, and it looks like it's all over for Peter. He's killed his dad, a.k.a. the planet, blowed him up. And out of nowhere, here comes Yondu, basically with a jetpack, and he flies him out, but there's only one helmet that will keep one of them alive through space. He gives it to Peter, and he says, he may have been your father, boy, but he wasn't your daddy. I'm sorry I didn't do right by you, but I'm damn lucky you're my boy. And I'm not going to lie, I cried.
You got a little tear in your eye.
I cried
when
we watched that.
I remember. There's no shame.
And then they have his funeral, and Peter finds an MP3 player and listens to the song Father and Son by Cat Stevens, and I cried again.
Yeah.
That is my number three. It is Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2.
Very good. You made me love that scene and that character all over again, so I appreciate you, Brian. All right, so let's talk about Snape. We talked about Snape a little bit yesterday.
Yes, Professor Snape.
Yes, he sacrificed himself. The series wanted you to hate him the entire time, and there at the end he came in clutch and turned out he died for a noble cause, and that cause was Harry Potter and Harry Potter's mom. So tell us a little bit your thoughts on Snape.
Well, number one, I love Alan Rickman.
He was great.
Perfect casting as Professor Snape. And basically, he was not against Harry the entire time. At least my interpretation was that he was in love with Harry's mother.
Well, you think that now, though.
And
but at the time, like throughout the series, you don't think
that,
right?
Yeah, and he was just, when he saw Harry reminded him, being Snape, of his mom. But in his last dying breath, he cast a spell and put his memories in a tear. Harry saw that Snape was working behind the scenes for his good the entire time, and he ended up naming one of his children after Severus Snape.
Yep.
My next one is pretty much everybody in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And it's more than, obviously, you had Jyn, you had Andor. My favorite was K2SO, the droid. I ain't gonna lie, choked up a little bit when that damn robot died. But they are the people who were able to steal the plans of the Death Star. And they all obviously died because the planet they were on blew up. They weren't the only ones. There was probably about a dozen rebels that pretty much was playing catch football with those blueprints as Darth Vader either choked them to death, threw them up against the wall and killed them, or killed them with a lightsaber. I lost count of how many people died, but they all ended up getting those plans to Princess Leia, and the rest is history. And that is probably the only Disney Star Wars movie that we'll mention today.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I'm proud of you for reaching into the Disney
If you
Star
all
Wars.
Want to hear me talk about Star Wars in a rated R manner for about 2 hours with my best friend John that's not here, if you look up our podcast, That One Show, we rank every Star Wars live-action film ever made from best to worst, and it gets off the rails, but it's probably one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. All right,
is that the episode that brought in all your angry fans, or is that something else?
No, believe it or not, the craziest people were over the wrestling episode that
wrestling.
I did. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And the Christmas special?
No, they have to be theatrical releases, but we do mention that if, believe it or not, had that been eligible, it probably wouldn't have been dead last.
Maybe you should do another list of, like, obscure things like Christmas specials.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to do a call for that one.
All righty.
All right.
So what's your next one?
All right, so my next one, I feel unworthy to state this character. And I'm only stating this because of osmosis. All the times I've had to hang out with you through the Marvel movies and all that, and I don't get into them, but you gotta give Tony Stark his due.
Yes.
As Iron Man.
So this is my number one. Always.
We have
yeah,
applause.
We had one person.
For you at home, we have applause.
Thank you. But this has always been my number one. I watched Endgame on opening night. It's probably my favorite theatrical experience of my lifetime. The crowd was insane. Spoiler alert. A couple of scenes, like when Cap picks up the hammer, people just was jumping up and like high-fiving like they were at a damn ball game and their favorite team had just scored. It was a magical experience. I remember you had everybody from little kids to grown women and men crying when Tony died. He got the gauntlet. Thanos said, "I'm inevitable," and he said, "And I'm Iron Man," snap, knowing he would very likely die. Early in the movie, the part that got to me is when they went to Tony to try to bring him back in, he had a daughter. He was finally at peace. He knew he had to give all that up, and he did it anyway. And
wow.
Dixie didn't watch it with me that time, but we watched it later. And 10 minutes before this even happened, I knew it was going to happen, so I start just bawling. She's like, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "You'll see in about 10 minutes.
See, though, I'm not worthy. I'm not a worthy fan of this franchise at all. But seeing the joy, same thing with Star Wars, seeing the joy that it brings you and the emotions that engages in you is just all I need to know. I'm his wife, by the way.
Yeah.
I try to say nice things about him every now and then. But just seeing how much joy and passion that brings out of you, good for you, Tony. Good for you.
So if you're keeping score, I've cried over Iron Man.
All
and,
these.
And Yondu.
Yeah.
And K2SO. The only other movies I've cried over are Edward Scissorhands and Titanic, because I realized I was never going to get those 3 hours and $12 back.
Oh,
yes,
that
sir.
Rough.
I
got to
say, is Independence Day on your list?
Yeah, you came in a little late.
Oh, yeah, you were late. Yeah.
Randy Quaid as Russell Case was my number five.
Yeah.
the alcoholic that was right the entire time and ended up saving the world.
Should have listened.
He is most definitely on my list.
Yeah, yeah.
So let you do the last one, and we'll ask some of the people in here what are some sounds that great. They liked that maybe we didn't mention.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, this my last one actually come. Is it my turn again?
Yes.
I just did Iron Man. Are you
well,
sure?
That was my number one, so I just went
All
ahead
right.
and talked
okay,
about
cool,
it.
Cool, cool. All right, so just didn't want to step on your toes. All right, so this one came way out of left field. I actually surprised Brian with this when I sent him my list for preparation, and I'm thinking some Lee Abbott, the father from Quiet Place. I don't know if you all have ever watched that, but Mr. Abbott is played by Jim Halpert, a.k.a. John Krasinski. I still call him Jim, even while we were watching the movie. I was like, oh, no, Jim. But he... There's not wanting to spoil it for anybody, but you are in a podcast about sacrifices, so wrong room if not. But he is deflecting an attack from the antagonist in the movie, the monster, And he is deflecting that from his kids onto himself. He had already been cut up, and halfway, I mean, he's a star. He's freaking Jack Ryan, okay? And we think we have Jim Halpert throughout the whole movie. However, we do not. He is only in about, what, half of the movie?
About, yeah.
And he sacrifices himself for his kids. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of got a little teary. And I don't cry. If you see me crying, something really bad has happened. But losing Mr. Father Abbott was pretty rough. And nothing at all related to superheroes.
All right. And that's our list. I'll do one quick honorable mention that barely did not make our list. And that is The Iron Giant. If you've not seen that movie, it's one of the great animated movies of all time. And it is one of those that will choke you up even though it is animated. So does anybody want to shout out something that maybe we overlooked that you think should have been on our list? Feel free to do so. Here out here first.
So for me, I read the book and watched the movie, but I watched the movie first, the first Hunger Games. Than the second one that you were talking
about.
Because when Primrose sacrificed, well, did she really sacrifice her? I guess she died, but...
Yeah. Oh, is that, are you referring to the first one, the first movie? I'm trying to think back, because we just watched all these.
So Prim's her sister, and she ends up dying.
Not Prim.
Rue,
yes.
There you
go. Rue, yeah. She sacrificed a lot to be, hi, oh my gosh, hi guys, hello, welcome. Get your questions ready because we're done with our part of the podcast, so you guys get your questions ready. All right, so gentlemen in the front, yes, Rue, she did sacrifice a lot throughout the thing, and ultimately it did result in her death because... If she was off taking care of herself, she probably, I mean, she wouldn't be in the situation she was if she wasn't helping Katniss. So, her death was gut-wrenching.
And she was going up and stuff. I couldn't help but think, like, every word was, like, rhyming because she had that song.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that part out of my head.
It was powerful.
Like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. In the back in the red, you were next.
I would say I'd have to call Tom Hanks and his entire unit in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was, to me, it was just so gut-wrenching, especially at the end when he goes to the gravesite and stuff like that. I just cannot.
It was, and I think, it's been a long time since I've seen that, but when Tom Hanks was dying, I think he basically told Private Ryan, make sure that your life's worth this, or something to that effect. Of all the men that had sacrificed to get him out. Absolutely, that's a great call, my friend.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
So,
it's been forever.
For those who just joined us, we are talking about movie characters that sacrifice themselves. The caveat is they actually have to die and stay dead. I, from the onset, said that Spock wasn't eligible from Star Trek because he comes back in the very next film.
And Scotty Sparks is pissed.
And I had a guy come at me online about that yesterday. Does anybody else have a question or an example of someone... A movie character or a character from TV or books or whatever media you want to mention that, hey, this person sacrificed themselves for the greater good, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we kind of kept our list,
right,
too.
He was also exiled from the Ravagers.
Absolutely.
He got the ceremonial Ravager.
Yes. Yes, he did. Even Sylvester Stallone showed up for his funeral.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot all about that.
But Michael Rooker is one of my favorite actors. I think he's so underappreciated. Has anybody ever seen Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Yeah.
He's crazy in that, man. That's like one of the first films he was in.
I think the only one I've seen of him besides Guardians was that movie Super.
Oh, yeah. Which is directed by James Gunn that did the Guardians movie, yeah.
I did not like it.
He's in a movie called Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise playing Rowdy Burns, a NASCAR driver. If y'all, they actually have a wheelchair race through a hospital after they get injured in a race. If y'all want to check that out.
Lord, I swear my first exposure to him was The Walking Dead. We're like, who the heck is this guy? What? Why is he from Breathitt County?
Because he. Also that character redemption in Tombstone, where he was one of the cowboys.
Absolutely. Great actor. Anybody else? I just want to shout out the gentleman that was the first one in. He's wearing a killer Bill Murray shirt. That's
he's
an awesome
a local
shirt,
legend.
My friend.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't.
Okay.
Have
well,
any
we got one.
Oh, we did. Oh.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so for our listeners at home, we just had somebody mention Groot and his sacrifice in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Absolutely. You could have mentioned Black Widow also from Endgame. That movie had several sacrifices. Does anybody have anything else?
I was just going to ask, you were talking about Independence Day.
Yeah.
The extended version.
I have.
There's
yes.
a lot more to that character Randy Quaid played that I felt like came through in that extended version.
Yeah.
I've seen it a couple times. But yeah, I think Randy Quaid's an interesting individual. If y'all want to look him up and what he's doing today, he's not acting.
What's he doing?
He's a lot.
Like what?
He's kind of got just hiding out.
I'm out of the loop.
Him and his wife are just like squatting and hiding out in Canada and whatnot. He's
I got bet they're going to show up at a Christmas party.
He has a massive beard.
Wow.
He's pretty much turned into like a far-right psychotic Cousin Eddie. if you've not looked up his exploits recently.
Well, to each their own, I reckon. Well, that's awesome.
We have a Ninja Turtle in here. I think we have, is that Donatello back there?
That's
awesome.
Is
Donatello your favorite Ninja Turtle? Awesome. Awesome.
Guys look great.
There's some artists up there that worked on some of the Ninja Turtle comics signing some stuff if you want to go check them out up on the third floor. I just saw them a while ago.
That's great.
Did you watch the most recent film that came out this summer? Mutant Mayhem? Did you like it? Yeah, I really liked it. It was good.
Well, is that the one where she pukes? She gets nervous and she pukes everywhere?
Yeah.
And it goes viral? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me up here earlier. No, I'm just kidding.
Anybody else? All right. Well, we thank you all for coming out for a live recording of that one show with Brian Combs. One of my favorite people and favorite musicians, Justin Wells, is back there. He is a former guest on the show.
Yes.
If you like what you heard today, just type in on any podcast platform, Spotify, iTunes, or whatever, that one show with Brian Combs. We've probably got close to around 100 episodes archived on there. And we thank you all for coming out. Appreciate it. Now go enjoy Lexington Comic Con and buy lots of cool stuff because they have like a nerd flea market upstairs that is like my mecca. Thank you all.
All right. And if you don't have any further questions, we'll be here for a few more minutes. We have the room until... Well, like 10 more minutes, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That one show is brought to you by the Goblin Trading Company and is written, recorded, and produced by me, Brian Combs, most of the time right on my kitchen table. If you enjoy this show, I ask that you please share it with others that you think may like it as well. And in the meantime, check out that one show on social media, either on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or all of the above. Thanks for listening, and until next week, spin that black circle.